the Caribbean island of Barbados. You may see a few pictures of me looking a little slimmer than this. I put on some weight here in a short time. And when I was in the States in February, so I feel a little different. I got to run with my little boys and lose a few pounds. But it's good. My family is washing. If they got that link, they were washing this week as well. And my brother in Bolivia, so they're following this service. Amen. And so I sent them some pictures with every time I'm eating and playing golf. So they got to know that I didn't come to the States just to play golf and eat. All right. So and they get a church service as well. So praise the Lord. And my wife is Krista Thompson. And the Lord bless us with 6 children and 2 boys. I pray the Lord will give me a twin. And one of those prayers, you know, obviously is yes or no. And the Lord did that. And we have Josiah and Jedediah Thompson. And they don't look like twins now, for the most part. But the Lord has been really gracious to me. I was telling someone, I don't know why Pastor has me as the last presentation. The guy set the bar so high. And it's been a real blessing to hear these other missionaries. And I see myself sometimes as behind the scenes, because in the ministry, you see us in a shirt and a tie, and we're ready to preach. But behind that, we're still human beings, amen? And still, we tie our shoelaces just like you do. And that's what the Lord has been so gracious to me. I'm working on getting the gospel out in Barbados, and I'll share a few slides in just a moment. My life verses are 1 Corinthians 15:57 and 58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And those are my life verses. I got saved in a Christian home around the age of 7. And we had a Sunday school class. You know, as you get a little older, you're going to the appropriate class. And I thought my Sunday school teacher was boring, you know, Sister Daniel. And we were singing little children's songs and playing our little games or whatnot. And now I have to sit down in the teens class and be more serious. So I remember having my head on the table like that. And she would tell me to just go and wash my face and come back. And I was cool for a while. And one day she sat me on this side of the auditorium after church, and she was really burdened, and she said she wanted to see God do something in my life, and she prays to God, how can I reach Ryan? You know, and the Lord used her burden, her tears, if you may, to really strike my heart. What are you going to do with your life for God? And that was like a real turning point in my life. And I started to learn the verses and so on. I remember distinctly as a kid having a temper. And I remember that my mom, she gave me some good lashes to get out of me. But I just want to throw things at my siblings, and I could just vividly remember them holding my hand and so on. And the Lord took care of that anger. And the Lord took care of that coldness. And now it's an honor to get to preach to those that would have seen me the before. The before Ryan was a, as we say back home, hard ears boy that thought going to church was boring and would be glad to be under the sheets and mom is coming around and you just, you know, if you could fake that you're sick, you know. I remember those days where I didn't have a desire to serve the Lord, but God. Yes. Amen, but God. So that's been in my testimony in a nutshell. And the Lord came to Bible College in 2001. I went to Puerto Rico, did my bachelor's there. Then I went to Crown College, 2007-10, Master of Ministry and Divinity. And then graciously, the Lord allowed me to do my doctorate in Tabernacle in Virginia Beach. And that has been a blessing. And I started Truth Baptist Church in our home. And you'll see, again, some slides in just a moment. I love soul winning. And I always would tell folks, I went to Puerto Rico, Virginia, Tennessee as a soul winner, and getting my degree was a bonus. And I give God the glory. I give you a testimony here. We were seeing souls saved like every week. And one of the brothers, Jesse Latta, he came, pulled me aside and said, it made my head feel swell in pride, but the Lord smit my heart. And I told him, he said, we're seeing more souls saved through you than all these kids here. And I say, oh, brother, you know, it's not always that I see souls saved. I wish I could say I see souls saved every day of my life. There are seasons where souls are being saved. There are seasons where... And he would come to the Bible club. He was leading the Bible club to see what I'm doing. Am I just saying souls are saved? You know, and he saw that I was giving the gospel. Like you would give the gospel. And what I did, instead of just inviting the kids to Bible club and have 10 minutes before they have to go and we have to go back to Crown, I would use that invite time to give the gospel. So I would get like a 30-minute conversation. And but the Lord taught me the power of prayer. Yes. And if I could leave you with that, I can put my presentation together. I can go through Bible college. I can have all those degrees and everything. But prayer is that catalyst that God just works. And I would get on my knees before God, says, it's cold out there. I don't feel like going to Bible club, Lord. Austin is high, but Lord, there's just one soul in this large school that would be saved. You know who it is. You want all everyone to be saved. But Lord, lead me to that one soul, and I'll be going and talking, and the Lord, week after week after week, will put that one soul, and the way, you know, if, when you win souls where someone is laughing or they're pushing, refusing, but where it just seems like that heart is ripe, ready to be saved. And then they would do the follow through and would see that they understood what they said. In other words, I wasn't just trying to get a quick prayer just to turn in a card and say somebody got saved. But the Lord showed me that it's not just getting a packet, it's not going to Crown College, is not knowing the verses, but get on your knees and beg God for a soul. And that's been my life over the years in Puerto Rico. I've seen hundreds, maybe thousands saved, and it's just the same gospel message and prayer, 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 and prayer some more. And that's that. If I could tell you that and sit down, that is what it does. That's what it is. Just praying, begging God for souls. And God will put you next to somebody on the airplane. One guy was trembling, and his hand was moving, and the way the conversation followed, he knew that God put me next to him. And I just want to challenge you, pray for your family, pray for your marriage, pray for your ministry. Because you'll preach till you're tired, you'll preach till you're hoarse, you'll preach till you're sweat, your tie is soaked, and it is just another moment. But if you bathe it in prayer, God would do a great work. And that's what I learned. When I went to Bible college, the first semester I came back preaching worse than when I was like, you go to school to get better, not worse. And Pastor Ward called me up there to preach. And I felt like I said, and you've heard these type of testimonies before, I felt like I said everything I know twice in 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes. And I'm serious. I mean, I just felt just stuck to the pulpit. And I was home practicing in the mirror and all of this. And then when I stood before those folks, 18, 19 years of age, I was just cold, embarrassed, and broken. And the Lord taught me to pray. And I, every time, even this very morning, and it's not for public, I get on my face before God. Every single time. Sometimes if I get a late request to preach, I'll say, Lord, I'm standing, but in my heart, I'm on my face. Yes. And I learned over these years, over 20 years of preaching, get on your face before God and beg God for a soul. Beg God to work in a heart. Beg God to change a life. Beg God to take these words. Beg God. In other words, just don't prepare your message and then come forward and say a quick prayer, but get alone with God. Amen. And beg God for souls. Beg God to touch lives. And I've seen God graciously open so many doors and give so many opportunities. And it's just humbling. But that's what I want to be, a man of prayer. And I believe, if, as a brother said, if it can't be done by prayer, it can't be done. And my ministry verse, Matthew 9, and following, 37, 35, 36, 37, those verses there. It says, and Jesus went, and I put it in simple form, Jesus went, Jesus saw, Jesus spoke. It says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Then he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, and laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So Jesus went. You can come to Barbados. Some people see the beaches, and you can't help but see them. And the beauty, some of the prettiest beaches in the world. I live 5 minutes from them. Crystal, you can see your toes in deep water. Very, very beautiful, pristine waters, beautiful islands, beautiful sceneries. But you go, what do you see? Do you just see the beaches, the mountains, or do you see people? Right. Do you see souls dying, going to hell? Do you see a brokenness? I told my high school class, I meant it in a negative way. They took it in a, oh, you know how high schoolers can be. I was in Puerto Rico. I went to the same school as Rihanna. If you've ever heard of her, if you haven't, good for you. But she's from my island. We went to the same school, different years apart. So they thought, man, like Dr. Thompson, you met Rihanna? No. I said, no, listen. She's a billionaire with a B. But what has she done for this island? What has she done to help? You know, with her contracts and stuff, she's not even allowed to even sing the national anthem. All of the things that she will have to go through to even sing. So she's a talented singer, and saved person, a billionaire with a B. And our country will see her as an idol, like she's put us on the map. But you know, if you give the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone, you've done more with your life than she's done with hers.
That's right.
And God has given us a mission, and God has given us a mandate to give the gospel. I'm trying to work on media. I do a lot of door knocking, and the false witnesses, they go so often, sometimes twice a week, to the same door. And I've debated them from the time I was about maybe 10, 11, to the point where it just feels like you're spinning your wheels. Over all those years, I've probably just seen two Jehovah's Witnesses get saved. They're very stubborn often. And, you know, if they're very staunch, blinded. So it's hard sometimes door knocking because they may think you're a witness. I try not to carry my tie and these things to not have that appearance, have my kids and so on. So I'm trying to use media and different ways to invite people in, try to go in and out the island. And I'll show you some pictures. Well, okay, we're ready. So how long was that behind there? Amen. So this is our anniversary service, and they're in St. Philip at this time. And one of our bigger turnouts there, and it's really a blessing when you have anniversary services, and the Lord has been really good. We started our church in our living room, and I don't have enough money to go to help that pastor in Bible Independent Baptist Church, and Lord said, how about starting that church in your home, which I know it was called to pastor. So we started our church with our two boys, and the Lord has grown it.
Yes.
We got around, we held hands and prayed and said, Lord, give us a place where I thought, Lord, can you give us a place where we could have open-air service just outside of our property here, outside of the community center where we meet? And we just held hands and prayed and said, Lord, pray you give us this property. And we didn't know who owned it, where, what. We got word, and a gentleman, long story short, he said I don't think he was ever saved. He said, I saw a lady that I taught in Sunday school, and I told her I need to apologize for you. And he said, for raping you. That was his words. She looked at him. He's telling me the story. She looked at him. What are you talking about? That never happened. He said, with teaching you about the Bible. He became so adamant that God isn't who he is and everything. And pretty much shows a recanting. What is it going with? Where am I going with this? So he owned this property, and he said he wouldn't want to give me to brainwash people with the word of God. But the Lord so allowed, we went back another time, and he gave me the number of someone he hadn't seen, I believe, since the 80s. I went to her house, Claire King. She said, we can have the property free of charge. 11,000 square feet. Land back home, if this was a property right here, just inside this building, this could easily be $500,000. Land is very expensive back home. The Lord gave us 11,000 square feet just by holding hands and praying and saying, oh God, open someone. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord.
Yes.
As rivers of water turn it. And we just beg God for a property. And the Lord has given us that. I had a lot of slides and I started to get glitchy and everything. So this is just a real small summary. We go into the schools. Those are my two boys. Again, the twin, but you would think that Jed, the taller one, is maybe a year or two older. So Joe, the smaller, he always says, I am older, but Jed is bigger. So that's what they said. And that's, for all his worth, that's skinny me 2 months ago before you guys spoiled me with so much food. But we go into the schools in Barbados. And that was just a greeting I had, which I said already who we are. Churches. Who will go to start and strengthen churches? Please prayerfully help us as we continue to partner with churches to fulfill the Great Commission. So it's our desire to help with churches. I'll be helping a Pastor Smith when I go home. So I'll be pastoring, well, it's his church, but I'll be pastoring like two churches, our church and his church, because he's coming to the States and going to Nigeria for 2 months. So pray for me as I take on those two works when I go back home. But it's our desire to start churches. We started Ministry Hope, help others prepare for eternity. And I'm a pilot as well. And my goal is to fly, carry the gospel throughout the islands. And missionary aviation has become just giving people waters, giving people tools, sending laborers. But Lord struck my heart. Just don't help somebody with tools just as they go to hell, but they need the gospel as well. So pray for us as we want to give people hope. Christ is our hope. And I had some pictures with the plane that you would have to see another time. But that's our desire, to carry the hope of the gospel. What do we do? Distribution to the poor and needy. We do VBS, camps, public school ministries, sports ministries, aviation trips to evangelize, strengthen and start churches in the Caribbean. And then we train evangelists as well. And I'll say a little bit about sports. I had desires to be at the Olympics. Lord gave me an injury, so I fell short of that. And my boy tells me he wants to be the first gold medalist of Barbados. So keep that in prayer. So I'm their coach, and I love running. I grew up in the Usain Bolt era. Didn't know him personally, though I saw him run and so on. And I'm passionate about coaching. My coach, he trained a guy that got our first bronze medal at the Olympics, Obadeli Thompson. That was my coach, and I knew him. So that's my little passion there. And he would have run against Michael Johnson and those guys and so on. So the Lord gave me training with coaching, running and swimming. And I come up against clubs that have Olympic coaches and kids of Olympians. And when our kids beat them and so on, they want to know, who are you? A guy said, well, how are you going to do it? One time, Harold, well, I called his name. And we're good buddies, though, and, you know, hope to win it for Christ. But I said, well, with the Lord's help, you know, he's saying, you got to get in a club for these kids that sell. I said, with the Lord's help, he said, I don't believe, don't use that card, man, you know. But when our kids got medals and his club was hosting the meet, he came and he gave me, these medals are for your kids, you know. And then when our kids beat their kids and so on, who, why, how? You got to be in a club. You got to get onto the Olympic coaches. But God can help me, amen? And he's given me the chance to open in prayer at regional meets. And without me seeking it, he's given me a measure of recognition back home and in the Caribbean with sports. Pray for us. Our brother talked about a car ministry. Our car is down right now. I pray I'll be able to get it back up. So we borrow a vehicle on the weekends. But we want to get a bus ministry going. Imagine the burden. Kids want to come to church, but there's no way to get them there. And sadly, sometimes the parents are the delinquent ones. They should bring their kids, but they send their kids. And often the kids are one first, and then the parents come after. And so we would love to, we don't have any bus, any ministry like that, but it's a burden on my heart when I can think of kids that would be here, but I've gone so many trips and I can only do so much and they can't be here. And we already have 8 in our car. And in the islands. We packed them in. Sorry to our deputy there. He wouldn't want to see us on the roads in the Caribbean. But we really packed kids in the car and so on, and be as responsible as we can. But first time a family came to our church, it looked like one of those clown cars you see on the cartoons where one kid keeps coming out. You know, but we would love to be able to do bus ministry. So we have our tent. We are indoors for Sunday school, our preaching as well. And we are, have our tent outdoors, so we're in and out. And just some quick pictures there. We do baby dedications, very big back home, where in this service, 5 souls got saved. And they're coming back into Sunday school. I have them in my phone for discipleship, and we're working with them. So they bring a baby to get dedicated. And this was a real crowd that was a little rough, to be honest. They were very unchurched, and guy leaves early to go and get his hair cut to come back. And I thought, wow, this is going to be an interesting time. And we let them know this isn't salvation of the baby, it's just dedication. It's really a dedication of the parents and first be saved. So people like to dedicate their babies to the Lord, and I try to use it as an evangelistic tool. And this is our church now. When the tent is down, we meet in this building, a computer lab. It's a little differently arranged right now. I do school ministries. I can go to a school and preach the gospel to the entire school. And we're praying for laborers. You know, some days I will go to like 3 schools in one day. I go to the principal, just have a little conversation. They'll have me come back, and they'll bring the whole kids out at full assembly. This is very common in Barbados and in the Caribbean, where you can get the gospel to the entire school body. And so we take advantage of that. I would love to be in every school. And the Lord has given us some great doors. I have principals and so on my phone, and we're trying to connect them from school. God's went through a bus ministry into Sunday school. So that's our burden. These kids would pray, and they were doing their morning prayers there. Many schools have prayers and those type of things, like in a religious way, though not in a gospel way. And I took a missionary, Scott Hester, there, and this was in October last year, and I got to give the gospel to that school. We have camps. We do camps in our home. That's my wife there. Pastor Smith, his wife came on, and we had churches combined, and we do camps in our home. We love to have an open home. People always are in our home and get to see the pastor in a shirt and a tie, but in just home clothes as well. And I try to use that as discipleship and the ministry of hospitality. And so we have folks at our home all the time. When I call back home, somebody's always coming in. This is ministry. You know, ministry isn't just what we do in the pulpit, but it's showing them we are, again, human beings. And I believe it's showing us, it gives us deeper friendships and connections. We are, well, trying to be on Instagram and trying to use this to Team Thompson Barbados, and it's given us a measure of recognition to be able to, where we can't penetrate through the door knocking, people are on the media and they're following us, so we try to use that for the glory of God. Again, I have so many other pictures there, but just pray for us, and that the Lord will help us to get the gospel of our Lord. I want to take the gospel to the man next door. I want to take the gospel to the prime minister if I can. Amen. And the Lord gives us those opportunities to penetrate, whether it be television, whether it be radio. And I want to be able to carry it throughout the Caribbean islands. And it's a real, the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. I'll sit down here and think about 1,000 other things I wish I could see and didn't share. I'm sure each of the missionaries, we have so many pictures and you're just choosing two here and 3 there. There's so much we could share in a short time. But praise the Lord, and just ask the Lord please to encourage our hands to the work. I realize that nobody cares that I have a doctorate degree when they're hungry and their marriage is broken and they don't know how they're going to pay their bills. That doesn't resonate with them. But when you live for the Lord and you walk in prayer, the Lord will put people from the pauper to the prime minister in your path.
Yes, sir.
and you'll be able to share the gospel with them. Most places I go back home, I say graciously, people know me. If I go to the beach, I say, we're missing two. I couldn't even remember meeting these people before. You didn't bring the girls today? If I go in the mall, somebody would almost, if you come with me to Barbados, people would say, and it's humbling, man, it seems like everybody knows you here. But I want them to know Jesus, amen. I'm a pig farmer, chicken farmer, and I rub shoulders with so many different people, but I want to just make a beeline for the cross.
Amen.
A beeline for the cross. That all the world may know there's a God in heaven. So that's our presentation this morning, and I'll turn it back over to Pastor, and thank you so much for your time. Amen.